Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley. And our conversation with Grant is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Grant, welcome in. I feel like this is probably going to be the longest conversation we have for the next 3 days. So thanks for joining us for a few moments today on the morning shift.
Well, there you have it. The longest conversation we have, and it's got sponsors. That's incredible.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations to y'all for that. Grant, I don't know if you've put on a blonde wig with bangs anytime during y'all's marriage, but I know that Nate Carter is at the front center.
That is very strange. That's a very strange comment, Mike.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Grant, speaking of blonde hair, what's your favorite Hollywood Hulk Hogan memory? I mean, because we got to get away from this weird thing they're talking about.
Yeah, there's something going on there. I'm not sure quite what it is. I'm sure I'll figure it out when at least one party of the show comes back to the house. But kind of a weird day yesterday, though. I think that there's no denying the impact that Hulk Hogan had on the pro wrestling business and American pop culture. He might have been maybe the most recognizable person in the world for a couple of years there in the 1980s. It's been a little more complicated lately, but I choose to kind of look at him for what he did inside those ropes. And I do think my favorite memory would be the formation of the NWO. Those were kind of my biggest moments getting into wrestling and enjoying it, and I still do. But it's hard to replicate those, those great heights that it reached in the 1990s and early 2000s. So I think we could just keep chasing it. But he was at the center of it, and it's incredible because at one point, as they were taking off, it was, this guy's too old to make an impact anymore. Just forget about him. We'll give you some new stars. And he managed to reinvent himself and get a whole nother run out of it. And that's pretty impressive, I would say.
Which one was your favorite version of Hulk Hogan? Was it the Hulkamania or was it the Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Really? You were a Hollywood.
I mean, he might be one of the greatest heels of all time.
I mean, I agree, but I just figured Grant just,
it's the beard.
Is that what it
Look,
is?
Look, I mean, Allie can tell you that there is a good portion of my wardrobe that is black and white and has that NWO logo on it.
I personally have four NWO hoodies that I did not purchase. I did not purchase them. They were purchased for me.
Couple goals.
Goals. Grant was not the Wolfpack NWO. He was definitely the OG black and white.
Oh, man.
Or the NWO Elite. Then that's when things really went wrong.
Well, we're going to pivot a little bit. Before we get to the current Braves team, Jesse Chavez retired yesterday. We're sad to see him go. But you tweeted, Grant, about how any team would be lucky to have him as a coach. Any guesses on a timeline or what that could look like?
Yeah, I think it could happen sooner than later from the way Jesse was talking yesterday. And for anybody who missed it, he was on Foul Territory TV with Scott Braun and the crew. And just, I think that one of the things that's made Jesse so special is the fact that, I mean, his perseverance and his dedication to this game, I mean, you can't fake that. And his ability to get the most out of what he was capable of doing, which was taking the ball and throwing strikes. I mean, I talked to Charlie Morton about this last year for about 20 minutes, and he said there are a lot of organizations today, like if Jesse Chavez was a college player today, he might never get this career. So it's really special to see what he's able to do with what he throws and with his arsenal, as opposed to, hey, I throw 97 miles an hour with a 3,000 RPM breaking ball. When are you going to call me up? Well, probably next year. For Jesse, he, I think, timed it really well. He certainly traveled, put a lot of miles in there. So he has a wealth of experience and knowledge, and that's the kind of thing that I think any club, any pitching staff in particular, would be lucky to have. And Jesse's already gotten the nickname coach the last couple of years anyway. So I think he's ready for it. I think that he still has more he wants to do in the game from the sound of it, and that he and his family the last couple of years, as they would talk about, you know, the opportunity to continue his career, it started to just transition into, yeah, maybe this coaching thing is that next step, that next evolution for him, because he says, if it's possible for me to give everything that I have to somebody so they don't have to take a couple of steps back and can keep moving their career forward, that's what I want to do. And I think that's commendable, and that's exactly the kind of attitude that you need from a coach and somebody that can give to those players to help them elevate their game.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing that. And like you said, maybe even sooner than later, what the next step is for him. I'm curious the next step for the Braves, Grant. And I think that you are, along with a lot of other Braves fans out there, have kind of struggled. It's like, obviously you want them to win, but you also want to see signs of life from some of these players. You want to be forward facing at least in a couple of different facets for this franchise. And I'm curious what Grant McCauley's looking at over the next couple of weeks in terms of what you want to see happen and what you'll be looking for actually happening on the field as well.
Well, you'd like to see some progress on the field. I think that's the number one thing. I mean, this has been a club that's hard to figure out. I mean, once or twice a week, they score 7 or 8 or 9 runs, and you think, oh, wait, maybe they're starting to figure it out. Then the next day, they score a bunch of runs, but the pitching staff blows it. And then for a couple of days, the offense goes lights out completely, and they are unable to win a series. And that's exactly how this homestand just went. Very high in the early going of the series against the Yankees and the Giants, and then unable to win the next couple of games. And that has kind of been their MO this season. They've been bad in rubber matches and third games of series in general. They've been really bad on Sundays, I can tell you, because I do a show after a lot of those losses, and they've lost 9 of those in a row.
This is awful.
It's difficult to have any other conversation other than this club hasn't met its expectations. It certainly hasn't met the fans' expectations, or really all of baseball's expectations for what their season could be. I think you just want to see, A, guys get healthy. That would be a big thing. I know there's been some conversation about, do you bring the pitchers back if they're not playing for anything? I kind of think you do, because I think it's important to finish your rehab and close the season healthy if possible. Maybe they're not going to throw a ton of innings, and I don't know. Chris Sale, I think, is due back with a little bit more of a clear timeline than Spencer Schwellenbach is, but I still think that the possibility of them pitching this year, the door shouldn't be closing on that. But you got to see more from the offense. Michael Harris obviously has a big couple of months ahead of him. He closed last year pretty strong. Can he do it again this year in what's been a very challenging season for him? And as we know, we're a week away, less than now, from the trade deadline. Are we seeing the last hurrah for Marcelo Ozuna and Raisel Iglesias, among others, in a Braves uniform? That we'll find out sooner than later. And then where does the club pivot? Where do they go? What do they look for in order to, you know, change out those pieces and reload over the course of the offseason? So those are some of the things I'm looking for in terms of the overall dynamic of the team. I think that the Braves have been extremely, extremely tested, probably to their limits and beyond what they expected this year. So being able to maybe pull the nose up on this thing at the end and at least finish better than you started would be something to go into the offseason, because I don't think this is a club that's spiraling and going into the rebuild direction, but they need to reconfigure and get themselves back on track to do the winning that they expect to be doing every year.
I told Allie some questions I had, but for you before, and you've touched on like literally a couple of them, and now I don't know which one to ask, but I want to ask this question, which is going to be weird and it's going to throw a lot of people off. I understand that they could sell some guys, like you said, Ozuna and Iglesias. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if there's anybody else there. You can touch on that if you want. But is there any chance that this team could actually also be a buyer, and hear me out, for a player that basically start their free agency now, like a Sandy Alcantara or someone like that who has a couple years left. You know the team that he's on won't re-sign him because it's just not what they do. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Braves could slide in there and grab that guy, maybe really just looking forward to next year.
Yeah, they could do that. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out completely. I don't necessarily expect that as much, because there will be a lot of competition, and I think that it will be a seller's market at the trade deadline as well. The teams that do decide to trade away their pieces, they're going to be able to ask a lot for them. The Braves being in that fray, trying to one-up offers from other clubs, that's kind of part of the math. Whereas I feel like a lot of this, what the Braves are trying to accomplish really speaks more to me to work over the winter. So could they do it? Yes. Do I expect them to do it? What are the optics overall of them maybe spending prospect capital right now when they could fill a need perhaps a little bit later by, and I know this may not sound like a thing the Braves will do, but maybe spend some money since they reset the luxury tax this year and look into the offseason as a lot of different ways to accomplish the various needs that they're going to have, particularly on the pitching side of things. So I wouldn't rule it out completely, but I just don't expect that to be the direction they're going to go. But I've been surprised before, and Alex Anthopoulos has shown in the past he can get creative when given the opportunity to, you know, go out and find something that his club could use. And he likes controllable players. So maybe that is something that makes sense.
It certainly is going to be interesting to see what happens. What are you working on for From the Diamond this weekend, Grant?
Well, the big weekend of Hall of Fame induction is upon us. So I'm looking to do a lot of fun coverage on that. I'm looking forward to everything I can get from a lot of media sessions that should be happening here soon. And of course, we'll talk about the Braves. We'll lead up to the trade deadline, which is going to start heating up across Major League Baseball. Who knows? Between now and Sunday, maybe we'll have a couple of more deals. The Mariners jumped the market yesterday, getting a first baseman from the Diamondbacks and Josh Naylor. That is probably just the first of many dominoes that could be falling over the next 5 or 6 days. But that and more, and all the Braves talk you can possibly stomach this time of year, is happening from the Diamond 5 to 7 on Sundays here on 92.9 The Game, wherever you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app.
Any chance you talk, Grant, about Michael Harris kind of changing his swing up a little bit?
Yeah, no, that's going to come. I came up this past week as well, so hopefully I get to talk about the results that come from those changes, because I can tell you this, Michael Harris has not just been showing up at the ballpark and just hoping that talent's going to win out. There's been a lot of work and a lot of adjustments he's been trying to make. It is not an easy thing to do in season, and particularly, as we've talked about a lot, when it's decision-based stuff that you're trying to change, habits and reactions. I mean, that's not an easy thing for an athlete in any sport to change and have it turn on a dime. So he's going to try to make the most out of this week and every week ahead of him in advance of the off season, so he can maybe go in there feeling a little bit better about what 2025 was, even if it will kind of be ultimately a bit of a lost season.
Hard work giving away Ford Broncos.
Yeah, no, it is. And back-to-back years. I don't know if he can afford to do that.
Hopefully he can quit playing games with my heart.
Exactly. Which WrestleMania are you going to reminisce with while I'm in Vegas this weekend?
Well, WrestleMania 18, Hogan versus Rock.
Knew it!
Awesome. Well, you enjoy that, Grant. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. You're larger than life.